There's a lot of Christians who love the truth of grace that are living on borrowed time. They're living any old lifestyle, and it's a matter of time before we hear a tragedy. I'm telling you, we can't live on borrowed time. God wants us, he wants you to abound in grace, but he also wants you to listen for that small, still voice. When God tells you to go to the left, don't go to the right. God is calling us, as I shared the other night with the group on Tuesday night, about Abraham and Lot, and how Abraham had to separate himself from Lot. In walk, there's a separation. It says, come out from among them. Come out from among the idols. And the them in that scripture is not necessarily unbelievers. They can be believers who are walking disorderly. My wife gave a message on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting about being aware of those that are walking disorderly, that we cannot walk with them. That sounds hard, but Paul preached it. And we need to walk with those that are walking with Jesus. Amen. And so we see here, let's go to Jude. How many know the true identity of Enoch? Who was Enoch? What was he? Do you know what he was? Anybody? The first prophet in the Bible. We'll find in Jude. Little book right next to Revelation. Why did he walk alone? Because he was a prophet. People don't want to walk with prophets. They want to walk with the evangelist who always has the good news. Right? The pastor who strokes them. A pastor is not called to stroke. He's called to teach. And he's called to walk before his flock. Amen. And so we see in the book of Jude. And God is calling an Enoch generation. Praise God. And the older we get and the more we're still alive, we may just make it to that generation. Hallelujah. Let's look at Jude, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. The seven means perfection and completion, but seven also means the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. We see that in Genesis. He's looking for a people that will walk with the mindfulness that they're in the day of the Lord. I'm not waiting for the day of the Lord. It's now. The day of the Lord is God's judgments. The day of the Lord is a people being prepared to be the bride. The day of the Lord is all assault of the enemy. Even these elections we have, we see an onslaught of tactics. But we know in the end who's really going to be elected. His name is Jesus. And that shouldn't worry us about what the liberals are doing or the conservatives. In the end, we know who's going to rule. He whose right is to rule. Hallelujah. Whose government will be upon his shoulders. The increase of his government. And we see in Jude, and he prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. And it says in one translation, 10,000s of holy ones. And the first time I heard this was you, Brother Johnson, that I was reading out of a translation that said 10,000 that looked like Jesus. I don't know who you want to look like, but we want to look like him. We want to look like Jesus. To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them, and of all their ungodly deeds, and which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against. And I find the greatest enemies in the ministry, in the church today, and I encounter them even worldwide, is people that do not want to use the word judgment and do not believe there will be a judgment. That God is looking for a people that will execute the judgments of God. Amen. He's looking for those that will not stand with what's going on. But I think that a lot of the political tactics that are going on right now are not of God. We're not to use politics to fight politics. But we are to use intercession. And when there's an opportunity to speak for the Lord to certain people. I walked with a prophet for a number of years. When all brethren forsook my wife and I when we went through a trial, this couple came alongside of us, and they're with us for years. And they're both dead now. When this brother got killed in a car accident, his wife called me because he knew what he meant to me. And this brother had opportunity. He taped it. God gave him a word for the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. Amen. And he stood there, and he gave the word. And I have it on tape, on videotape. And he spoke the word of God to this Prime Minister, and he received it. See, God wants to use you and me. Doesn't mean we're going to have a judgmental spirit. But we cannot go along with the evil that's in the church or in the world. We got to speak up for the Lord. Amen. And I'm not convinced that social media is the main way. But I believe that the Lord is going to have a people that are going to usher in the coming of the Lord. This, we don't know if it's going to be our generation, though. But God's going to have an Enoch generation that are going to be alive at the coming of the Lord. Do you know that there's going to be a generation that before the Lord returns have conquered sin and death? Can you believe that? The glorification will come at the second coming. But there will be a people that come to maturity and the defeat of sin and death before that happens. And now there are many preachers in the past that have preached what we call the never die doctrine. And every one of them that preached it is gone. But we know they're with the Lord and they meant well. And almost every one of them died in some tragic way. One brother said this to me, we won't know till the seventh seal is open who's going to be alive at his coming. So don't get on some tangent that you're going to be alive at the coming of the Lord. We don't know. We won't know to that time. But all I know is this, is that there's a generation that will conquer sin and death. There will be a generation, and I don't know whether we'll be part of it. And we need to begin walking a holy life right now. We need to start looking for fresh direction so that we may be that generation. Amen. How many want to be that generation? That there will be a generation. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so let's go into the book of Colossians. Terry is a good friend of mine. He's given me all the time I need. But we just go with the Lord. I don't kill clocks anymore like I used to, Terry. Amen. One time Brother McKinnon, by the way, he gave up on telling me to speak for 30 minutes or 40 minutes. But so with a clock, they told me I had to have the message done by 12:30. And I saw, and my message was done as 12:30. And I went to the associates and I said, praise God, I listened to the pastor for once. And the associate said, it's 1:00. That clock back there died. And they never let me hear the end of it for years. Amen. But my days of killing clocks are over. But the Lord's desire is that we may get the point today of what God's trying to say to us. Amen. And the Lord is very interested in our walk today. How many believe he is? It's not just he walks with me and he talks with me. I thank God for that. That's elementary. We don't want to stay there. Now it's time for us to walk with God. Maybe we need to change an approach. Maybe we need to go in a different direction. He said, Peter, when you were young, you went about where you wanted to go. But when you are old, another shall gird thee. Now, in Israel, when a man and woman got engaged, they would tie a little cord around her wrist and his wrist. That was called girding. And that was a preliminary to marriage. When you were young, you did what you want to do. But there's coming a time you need to be married to my will. Amen. I want you to thank me for how I delivered you. But now what? I want you to fulfill. But it's going to take some walking to be able to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we look here in Colossians. And we look at chapter 1. And we're looking at verse 9 and 10. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need to compare our prayers with the prayers of Paul. And you'll find that your prayers are man-centered. Paul's were God-centered and church-centered. Amen. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen? Walk worthy means that it actually, the word for that is similar to the word pleasing, that we may walk with his acceptance. Now, we are accepted in the beloved the day we're saved. But Paul says in the book of Romans that I may be approved of him. Being accepted and being approved is different. And I used to say that to my children. I love you, but I don't approve of what you're doing. You see? We can be accepted. And many only want to be on that level. Accepted, they beat it to death in their sermons. I'm accepted in the beloved. I want everybody to be encouraged today. We are accepted. But God wants us to be approved. Hallelujah. And another place it goes on to say that we are to walk toward the kingdom and toward his glory. Hallelujah. The alignment in our walk needs to be that King Jesus rules over us. We need to pray that kind of prayer. You rule, King Jesus. You rule in my life. And Lord, take away all my glory, that I may only have your glory. And what we're doing is rehearsing for the kingdom when he ushers it in. And what I have found over the years, Brother Terry, that grieves my heart, is that people don't care where they're going to be in the next age. They're too busy struggling with their everyday life. But the Lord wants to place you close to him in the next day. Getting to heaven is not on my agenda. Paul knew he had heaven. He never worried about it. He said that I might win Christ, that I might sit on the throne, that I might rule with him. Amen? Hallelujah. And that has always been a grief for me as a minister. That all people want is be saved, know I'm accepted by the grace of God. And they love listening to that kind of preaching. And those kind of churches will be packed because they're given the same candy every Sunday. Amen. God don't want to give us candy. He wants to give us meat that we can chew so we can become the Word of God. Amen. And so the Lord wants us to walk worthy of his kingdom in this hour. He wants us to be approved of him, that we may enter into that kingdom and have abundant entry to become his bride and to rule and reign with him. And I know this church believes in these things. Hallelujah. It's the only way I've been able to come here for 30-some years. You've been able to tolerate me because this is my heart. This is what I'm reaching for. And all we as ministry, we don't want to just preach things. We want people to be so inspired that they reach for the same things. Amen. It says in Ephesians that we should not walk in the vanity of our minds, alienated from God, but having the renewal of our mind. The vanity was our mind. What's going to become of me? What's going to become of my finances? What's going to become of my family? There's never been a time in history that the family has replaced God. It's called the gospel of family. And God wants a man of God, a woman of God, to honor their family. But the family should not replace God's purpose for us and the call of God. There are many men of God, even our Lord and Savior, amen, had to walk away from his natural family because the only one who believed anything was James the elder. And they ordered him out of the house one day and they said, tell him we need to see him. He's one of the younger ones. Tell him. And Jesus said, who is my family? He told them. He renounced them. He told them they were not his family. He said, who are my family? You send this message to them, those that do the will of God. Nobody would ever, a Jesus that insults and offends? That's unheard of in the land today. But Jesus is separating the wheat from the chaff in this hour. And we're either going to be, Charles Spurgeon said, we need to preach the truth of the gospel or we'll fill the church with tares. I believe today God is calling us to walk with him.